Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
So I've got to apologize to Jane because I've been doing the weekly email, right? And it usually, if you pay attention, it usually says from Joshua's desk. And so I've changed it to from Jane's desk. But I've been writing them. And last week's email had a few mistakes. And they were all me. But it came from Jane's email, so it looked like it came from her. So I need to own that so you don't think, oh my gosh, what is she doing? Anyway, one other thing, Vusa and Normal, thanks so much for leading. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Mennonite World Conference, but it's a gathering of Anabaptists across the world that happens every 5 or 6 years or more. So I forget what year it was, but It was held in Harrisburg at the Farm Show Complex, and so one of the great things that they do is they have different the worship for the day comes from different parts of the world, and by far my favorite of that Mennonite World Conference was the worship that came and was led by the African nations. It was so good. When you guys were leading this morning, I was like, oh no, you're done? I don't want you to be done. So thank you guys for leading us. It's been really good to have you part of our church family. And it's good to not just be led by you on the screen, but actually in person too. So that's wonderful. Let me begin just with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to read from John chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles this morning, it'll be John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. But let me begin just with a word of prayer. Jesus, we come here because we desire to give ourselves to you as fully as we can. We desire to hear from you. And so, Lord, throughout this morning, whether it be through songs or through the scriptures or through an interaction with someone else or just through pure grace, Lord, and you come out of the blue from somewhere, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that we would be open to receive from you what you have for us today. And so we give ourselves, we give to you our ears, we give to you our hearts with which to listen this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So this is John chapter 15. This is Jesus. Probably if you want to imagine kind of the context of how Jesus is speaking this is right after, in John's gospel anyway, what is considered the Last Supper. For John, it would have been foot washing, not necessarily the communion part of it that he talks about, but that meal that they have in the upper room. And so in John, there's this line that says, come, let us leave. And so this passage of scripture actually is probably on the way to the Mount of Olives. So it's one of those things like maybe you're taking a family hike or a hike with friends and you're talking kind of along the road. This is maybe the context and how you can see Jesus talking about this with his 11 remaining disciples as he knows what's coming and what's ahead of him. So verse 1 through 8. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Excuse me. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will also remain in you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." So it's almost 10 years to the day that I have shared this passage for the first time with this church family. I would say, let me see, Steve Kreider, right there, is the only one who would have heard this. But 10 years ago, I shared this with the leadership team on my second interview here at the church. So the first one, we were living in Canada at the time, and we used this pre-Zoom app called Skype. And you guys remember that one? And so we Skyped my first interview. Apparently, it went okay enough, or it broke up enough to say, maybe we should see this guy in person. And so we came down for a second interview. And it used to be the tradition of churches to do, I'll call them audition sermons, I guess. Thankfully, our bishop moved away from those kinds of things, because I thought that was probably one of the most nerve-wracking experiences ever, is to have an audition sermon. And so instead he said, "Will you lead a devotional?" And I thought, sure, but that's just as awkward. Is this like an audition devotional? I don't know. Anyway, so we came down, and during this audition devotional, so to speak, I used this passage because one of the things that I believe in the life of the church always is this idea of pruning. This idea of pruning that comes across in John 15. So it's been 10 years this September. It's been 10 years since I began here. And I think I entered my time here at LBIC. This is my first senior pastorate. So I've served in ministry since 2000. But this is my first time as a senior pastor. And I think I entered with this idea that it was my job to help us be pruned, to help us stay close to Jesus, because that's the intention of pruning in the first place. And to a degree, I think I was right. But what I didn't realize at the time was how intimately connected God's pruning work in the church was also connected to God's pruning work in my own life. The community that I was connected to was intimately connected to the work of God in my own life. And so Jesus is sharing this among friends, among a community that he has built up over the course of 3 years, an intimate friendship. And again, it's like these friends are walking along the road as he's telling and sharing this teaching. Jesus set this teaching in the context of the community. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches," because a branch doesn't exist on its own. A branch is a part of a larger structure. It's part of a larger organism, a larger plant. You have more branches. It's not just you. A tree that doesn't see itself connected is kind of stupid looking. So I have a stupid looking tree for you, I think, right? Let's see. Is there tree pictures? Oh, no, they were in the email. Okay, so let me describe to you tree pictures. I have this tree in the back of our yard, and so it's not a big tree. It's a development that's maybe 15 years old. And so the trees aren't huge yet, but they're big enough. And so the bottom of this tree is green, maybe about halfway up. And then the top half is completely dead. And I don't know what to do with this tree, and maybe some of you arborists out there can tell me what to do with this tree, but this tree looks really stupid because half of it blooms and the top half doesn't. Yes, that's the one on the left, okay? So a lot of leaves on the bottom, top, not so good. My neighbor, I didn't get a picture of this, but it's kind of funny. My neighbor had this experience, and so he thought, "I'll just chop all the branches down to nothing, and then maybe it'll grow back." It looks awful. There's nothing on it whatsoever. It's just this little stubby tree sticking out in the front of his house. So, but this tree illustrates kind of how silly we look, not only personally, but as a church, if we don't consider ourselves part of a larger community. We might think of ourselves, "Oh, I just need to concentrate on myself and my own bearing of fruit," or whatever. But if we see ourselves disconnected from the larger community, we end up looking like this. We are a part of something that is larger. We are connected intimately to one another. Like the church family, the community of faith that we are a part of, intimately shapes and deeply shapes who we are as followers of Jesus. And so maybe this tree is what we look like when people of the church don't understand, when we don't understand how connected we are to one another. How our formation into Christ-likeness really is interconnected to the formation of our brothers and sisters in the same body, in the same community. They are related to one another. So on the other side, though, there's this tree, and the coloring is really off. So I don't know what kind of tree this is, and maybe you can tell me afterwards, but it's that bright pink sort of tree when it comes into bloom first in the spring. It's absolutely beautiful. I love its color. Ruby and I take walks throughout the neighborhood, and it made me stop and take a picture of it. But if you contrast these two trees, maybe it can be a picture, a mental picture for us about what bearing good fruit looks like in the context of community, this bright, fiery pink tree that's alive versus this, I don't even know what to call it, pathetic thing on the left. And so maybe we can contrast those things to help us give an image in our minds of what it means to bear fruit as a community of faith, or not to bear fruit as a community of faith. I hope the vision that we have for ourselves as followers of Jesus and a community is, oh, it's brighter. See? It got more beautiful. It's blooming right in front of your eyes in 2D. Nice work, Jeremy. And so, I don't think that there's any one of us who would say, I don't really want to bear fruit, right? Most of us want to bear fruit because fruit means life. But it takes something to bear fruit. And so that's what I want to pay attention to here. And the words of Jesus. Jesus says in verse 1, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I want to pay attention to this pruning. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So there's a few things I want us to pay attention to and think about as we hear these verses in this teaching of Jesus. First is this idea of fruit. So keep in front of you this comparison between these two trees. The first tree being very sorry, and we have a walking trail, and it's almost like, I wonder what people think of this poor tree as they walk by it every day. But the second tree in full bloom, full of beauty, and this tree, people stop like me, and they look at it. All of us, I think, want to bear that fruit, but if we want to bear fruit, it means remaining. As Jesus says, remain in me as I remain in you. Now, I like the NRSV version better because instead of remaining, it uses this word abiding. It says this in verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. Unlike the NIV that we did read, it says, if you abide in me, then I'll also abide in you. It almost has this sense of, well, if I do this first, then God will respond, where the NRSV reads more like, abide in me as I abide in you, meaning I want to do this regardless. God's saying, I'm going to do this regardless. I want to do this regardless. Whether you initiate it or not, I'm going to initiate it because God is always the initiator. We're never the initiator of anything with God. God is always the initiator with us. God is always the starter. So the NRSV, abide in me as I abide in you. Abide in the Greek is the word meno, which really has nothing to do with Mennonites, although you might think it is. That's more Menno Simons. I don't know. Maybe Menno Simons was named after the Greek word meno. I'm not sure. But it has this meaning that I think is helpful that helps us visualize what abiding means. Because when I think of the word abiding, I don't know, maybe I'm just the romantic one here, but when I think of abiding, I think of sitting down by the fire with a cozy blanket, or, you know, it's got this warm and fuzzy sort of feeling to it when I think of abiding. I probably romanticize it more than I need to. But abide in the Greek has more teeth to it. Meno has more teeth to it. It means to stay in place. It means to endure. It means to hold out, to stay in place, to endure, to hold out. When we think of it in the context of the scripture story, it's a covenant kind of word. It's a word that's descriptive of God. God stays in place. God endures. God holds out. Let's first apply this to Jesus. So let's just use Jesus and say that Jesus stays in place. Jesus stays with us. When we move away, Jesus stays with us. When we stray away, Jesus searches us out and finds us. Jesus is the good shepherd that way. Jesus endures. Jesus endures our questions and our doubts. Jesus endures when we walk away, or Jesus endures our faithless times. Jesus endures when we get the ideas of Jesus wrong. Jesus endures. Jesus holds out. Jesus holds out for us. Jesus holds out with us. Because Jesus holds on for the good ending. Abiding or meno is a covenant kind of word. It's what God has been doing all along, staying in place, staying with us, enduring with us, even if we've not responded or even feel like we've initiated in that way. I think that's one of the beautiful things that we get from this word abide in this picture is that no matter what, God is abiding with us. God's desire is to abide with us, to stay in place with us, to endure with us, to hold out. So here's maybe my rendering or my version of this. Stay put in me. Endure in me. Hold out in me. Just like I'll always do in you. We'll make it, and something beautiful will come out of it. Something beautiful comes from this abiding, but you can't abide and you can't bear fruit, nor can you stick with Jesus or stay close to Jesus unless you are willing to be pruned along the way. One of the things that vine dressers or grape growers know is that the best grapes are produced closest to the vine. The other thing that grape growers know or vine dressers know is, and maybe you know this too, is if you have vines in your house, I know the Millers have vines on the back of their house, these things grow like crazy. They can become incredibly unmanageable. And so one of the things that you have to do, especially if you want to yield a good crop of grapes to make good wine or have a good fruit, is to keep these vines trimmed. Because the best things stay close to the root. The best grapes are grown to the root. If you don't do anything, what you end up with is this huge mess that is really not good for anything. There might be a lot of growth, but the growth is not going to be qualitative at all. It's just going to be quantitative. And maybe that's one thing that we ought to think about in terms of following Jesus, is sometimes we're so concerned with the quantitative. How much can I do? How much can I learn? And it's almost like we treat it, here on graduation Sunday, we treat it like a degree. How much more can I gain? How much more can I gain? And we focus so much on the quantitative input, how much that we're taking in, that we don't focus on the qualitative input or how much those things that we are taking in are actually becoming a part of us. The church is infamous, I think, especially in Western culture, for the quantitative input. How many Bible studies can you do? How many books can you read? How many this? How many that? And we're not focused on the qualitative. We're not focused on, okay, you might have done all of these things. You might have degrees. You might have books. You might have Bible studies. You might serve all over the place in the church and be super busy for God. But what exactly is happening in your soul? I think that's what Jesus is after here. It's not so much how many vines are growing out there, how big is the vine thing going to get, but what is the quality of the fruit that is being developed? And if you and I want to have good quality fruit, it means pruning. We can't get away from being pruned. Pruning is a necessary part of abiding. Pruning is a necessary part of abiding because it keeps us close to Jesus. It keeps us close to Jesus. I want to give us one idea about what is pruned, especially in the context of sabbatical and the season that we're entering into as a church. So just one idea about what is pruned. So God, who is the vine grower here, prunes that which is anti-community. So keeping and going back to this context that these branches bear fruit in the context of one another. They don't just bear individual fruit, but you're bearing fruit alongside of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so one of the things that I think we get pruned of in our lives is that which is anti-community, which is another way of saying anti-love towards neighbor, which is one of the great commandments. Or we could say maybe one of the things that gets pruned is our sense of individualism. Our sense of it's just really about me and Jesus. I don't think you can abide in Christ or stay in place or endure or hold on, hey kiddos, without, hold on, I'll give everybody a chance to get back to their seats. So I don't think you can abide or endure or hold on without doing that within the context of the faith community that you're a part of. Because let's be honest, it's easier to talk about abiding and enduring and hanging on to God, who we don't see, right, than it is with people who we do see. We can talk about abiding and enduring and holding on to God all we want to and then be like, oh, but God, you put me with these people. But that's exactly the place where all of this gets worked out. You cannot bear fruit unless you do it within the context of a community. And so what I want to suggest is that the anti-community, being anti-community, is the absence of a willingness and effort to work out the rubs and the tensions that are a natural part of every human relationship. Anti-community is the absence of a willingness and an effort to work out the rubs and the tensions that are a natural part of every human relationship. Ruby and I are going to be married 21 years in June, and there has been absolutely no tension or rubs in our life. Kidding? There's been a ton of tension and rub in our life. But I know one of the relationships, probably the relationship, I'll just maybe even say in the context of my family, the relationship that has formed and shaped me the most as a person is my abiding in my family. I'm going to endure, I'm going to hold on, I'm going to stay put with my family. We don't think about that in the context of the church all the time because we have the convenience or the leisure to say, well, if I don't really like these people, I can find another kind of people that I kind of do like better. But what happens is oftentimes we can move on from the very places that are going to form and shape us. And I'm talking kind of in the context of the church. It's easy to move on from a church because we feel rub and we feel tension, but I want to suggest that as we feel rubs and we feel tension as a community of faith, those are the very places and times where we dig in deeper and we can grow. They can be opportunities for growth. I'm not saying that we celebrate rubs and tensions, nor am I saying that we instigate rubs and tensions, okay? But I am saying that we enter into these things, that we see them as opportunities for the vine dresser to do the work so we can bear fruit. So being a part of a church family is not just showing up on a Sunday morning, but it's working alongside of one another, being in relationship with one another, whether it's doing church stuff or not church stuff. But as we do that in relationship with one another, we're going to have rub and we're going to have tension. And it's a matter of saying, you know what, God, I'm going to commit myself. I'm going to abide with these people and I'm going to allow this tension to form and to shape me. I'm going to allow it to be used by you. We don't do very well with dealing with discomfort. We want to alleviate discomfort. But growth only happens when we are not comfortable. Pruning is not something that is comfortable, but pruning is something that is necessary. Over 10 years of serving as pastor here, there has been plenty of rubs and tensions that I've experienced serving here as a pastor. And I'd lie, and I would be lying if I said there wasn't a part of me that many times wanted just to cut and run, because that would have been easier. But retrospectively, I have been shaped by abiding. Not only abiding with Jesus and choosing to abide with Jesus, but choosing to abide with you. Some of you are new here. So like Dubes and Mussers and Rachel and Kyle and your family, and even, you know, Naramores, you, Nathan, you guys are fairly new here too. Jeremy. And then there's some of you who've been around here for a long period of time, Ben and Mary, Dick and Carolyn. Yeah, there's, you all have formed and shaped me. My relationships with you have formed and shaped me. I wouldn't be who I am if you hadn't somehow interacted with my branch in the way that you have. And that's what it's supposed to be, and that's what it's supposed to be for all of us, not just because I have to be here as a pastor, and I have to be in relationship with you all. I actually want to be in relationship with you all. But that's what it's supposed to be for each one of us, too, as our branches intermingle with one another. As we intermingle with one another, that's how fruit grows. And so I want to give us a challenge and an encouragement as we enter into this sabbatical season together. Something to do as we're together, even though we're going to be apart. Jesus continues in John, and he says, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remained in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be complete in you, and that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you." We abide by keeping the commands of Jesus, and very simply, the command is this: love each other. And so here's what I want to challenge each and every one of you with over these next 3 months that I think will help us to bear fruit. Make plans to love one another. Make plans. Don't just say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to love each other." And it's just going to be something that, "Oh yeah, this is something we're going to be aspiring to do." Make plans as a part of this church family to love one another. I want to challenge each and every one of you, whether you've been here for 30 or 40 years or 3 weeks, to make plans to love someone else in this church family over the next 3 months. And so here are a few suggestions for you. One, decide the frequency of the plans that you want to make. Maybe it's a daily thing, maybe it's a weekly thing. Okay, at minimum, we're setting the bar low at monthly, okay? But decide the frequency with which you want to actively plan to love one another. Spend some time in prayer or with your family or around the dinner table and brainstorm the ideas of how you might want to do this. Maybe meals or texts or cards or help or time, whatever it might be. I would challenge you to share this love with people that you don't know. Okay? It's no, it's not lost on me that Steve Kreider is the minority in this room, right? He's been here how long, Steve? 30? 50? 50 years, okay? So he's been here 50 years. Some of you have been here maybe 50 days, right? But we have this wonderful thing in our church right now where a lot of you are new. And there are still a lot of you who are not new, who've been here for a long period of time. So I would challenge you to reach out and to share some love to start to make some connections with some people that you don't know. Here's another thing I would say. Don't worry about receiving. Don't wait for the phone call. Don't go through this 3 months and be like, oh, nobody's contacting me yet. Don't worry about the receiving. Just worry about the giving. And here's the last thing I would encourage you to do is to write about your experience. I want this to really be something that we take up as a church family to do over these next 3 months. Write about your experience, process your experience, because we want to share that experience too. For those of you who are a little bit shy, and I totally get this, you can just fall back on this. Joshua told me to do this. Joshua told me I had to love you, so I'm going to love you. Maybe you don't want to say it in that exact way, but think about it. If we all take up this thing, it's not like, oh, just one of us is doing it, the other is doing it, but this is something that we're doing together. I want to be a part of this community of branches, so to speak. And so initiate, take the initiative, and be intentional and make plans to love one another. I believe, and this is really a weird time to leave for sabbatical. I've told a lot of people this because I feel like we're in a really exciting time in our church family. And I feel in a way that we're entering into a new season. For me personally, there's so many things that feel like a new season, right? I finished a degree. I finished 10 years. We're starting another time together, another season together. There's endings and there's beginnings, but I feel like we're entering into a new season as a church family. And I can't think of a better way to enter into that season than intentionally making plans to love one another well. And so when I get back in July, late July, and throughout the months following that, you all do this well already. I'm just encouraging us to turn it up just a little bit. I can't wait to hear the stories. And I can't wait to see how God uses that foundation that we build for this next season by intentionally loving one another. I can't wait to see what God does with that in these coming years. So let's love one another well. Brian, are you leading now? No, just communion. Going right. Okay, there you go.